Good afternoon. This is Archdeacon Steve West, the parish priest of St. Barnabas Parish in the Anglican Church and the Diocese of Trinidad and Tobago. I welcome you to reflection on this 22nd Sunday after Pentecost, proper 25, year B. Our readings today, Job chapter 42, verses 1 to 6, and 10 to 17, Psalm 34, the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 7, verses 23 to 28, and the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. Let us pray. The Lord is here, and we will praise Him. The Lord is here, and we will worship Him. The Lord is here, and we will trust Him. The Lord is here, and we will honor Him. The Lord is here, and He has called us to give Him all the glory. Amen. Lord, you are the King, and we will praise you. You are holy, and we will bow before you. You are the Savior, and we will trust you. You are Almighty, and we will serve you. You are the Lord, and we will adore you. Amen. Coming into your presence, Lord, is like coming home. It is here that we first found you, or rather, you found us. It is here that again and again we have met with you, rejoiced in your love, and found the strength to continue our journey. Again and again, your majesty, your glory, and your power overwhelm us and outstrip anything that our tiny, finite minds could hope to comprehend. Again and again, you have reminded us that you are not confined by time or place or eternity. Lord, speak to us the word that will sweep away all our doubts. Strengthen us in our weakness and provide that opportunity to begin again, which we so long to have. Amen. We have the hymn CPWI 495, Amazing Grace. Just Let us pray. We pray the collect for proper 25, followed by our parish prayer. Almighty and everlasting God, increase in us the gifts of faith, hope, and charity, and that we may obtain what you promise. Make us love what you command, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Our parish prayer. Gracious God, you sent your only Son, Jesus, to be for us an example of godly living. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to treasure your creation, that we may be his faithful disciples in our time and place, making disciples of all nations, sharing his words with all who need to hear them, and helping our brothers and sisters to experience life in all its fullness, all to your honor and glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our reflection today is entitled, What Do You Want Me to Do for You? What do you want me to do for you? This was the response of Jesus to James and John when they approached him and asked him to do for them whatever they asked. Mark chapter 10, verse 36. Not understanding all that Jesus told them, no less than three times, as they moved towards Jerusalem, that he was going there to suffer, die, and would be raised from the dead, James and John asked for positions of honor in his kingdom. Jesus, in love, turned down their requests because those places were not his to give. They were for those for whom they were prepared. Mark chapter 10, verse 40. Jesus did, however, warn them that they would drink of the cup of suffering and be baptized with the baptism of suffering. James and John had ears, but they did not hear. After pointing out to his disciples that he came to serve, and they, as his disciples, were also to be slaves of all, Jesus continued on his journey to Jerusalem. Mark records that they came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, the last stop before Jerusalem, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Mark chapter 10, verses 46 and 47. He was ordered by many in the crowd to be quiet, but he would not lose the opportunity to have an encounter with Jesus. So he cried out even more loudly, Son of David, have mercy on me. Verse 48. It is obvious that Bartimaeus knew who Jesus was. He understood that as the Son of David, Jesus was not only royalty, but he had the power, like Solomon, another son of David to heal. Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, stopped and called Bartimaeus to him. The people encouraged him by saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." Verse 49. As one would expect, Bartimaeus responded immediately. Luke says, "So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?'" Verse 50. It was the same question he asked James and John. The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Verse 51. Bartimaeus wanted to see again. He wanted to see again to enable him to move about freely, to admire the beauty of creation, to avoid dangerous situations and people. He acknowledged he was blind, and his great desire was to see again. Understanding his need, Jesus in love said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed Jesus on the way. Verse 52. Bartimaeus could now see clearly, and therefore he would choose to follow Jesus, to be a disciple of Christ. As a disciple, he follows Jesus to Jerusalem, where Jesus would suffer and die and be raised from the dead. In a few moments, Bartimaeus had become a faithful disciple of Christ. God knows what we need, but God sometimes requires that we make the request. For the God whom we worship knows the secrets of our hearts, and God also knows what is best for us. Bartimaeus required physical sight. The disciples required spiritual sight. It took a blind man from Jericho to set them on the way of Christ. Bartimaeus experienced the healing power of Jesus and committed to follow him. The disciples, the 12, were called by Jesus. They responded to the call. They heard his teaching. They acknowledged him as the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God, and on the road from Caesarea Philippi, but they still did not understand. They were spiritually blind. In our epistle for today, from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 7, verses 23 to 28, the writer reminds us that Jesus is our high priest of the new covenant, who sacrificed himself for our sins. Unlike the priest and high priest who served under the old covenant, Jesus, the great high priest of the new covenant, is holy and blameless, without blemish and without sin. He was therefore able to make the perfect sacrifice for sin, the sins of the whole world. We should have no doubt that God in Christ loves us. Today, let us imagine that Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, could say to us, "I gave my life for you. I died that your sins may be forgiven, that you may have a right relationship with my Father. What do you want me to do for you?" How would we respond? Would we, like James and John, ask for worldly status or wealth or power? Would we, following Bartimaeus' example, ask for our great desire, perhaps to be free from spiritual blindness? Would we ask for a heart to praise my God, a heart from sin set free, as the hymn writer says, or for faith to trust God, especially in this time of this pandemic? Our response to that question, what do you want me to do for you, would be determined by our understanding of God and the depth of our relationship with God. We could indeed learn from our Old Testament character for the last few weeks, Job and his predicament. Having lost everything, and with his body racked with pain, Job's friends were convinced that he had sinned and argued with him to persuade him to repent. Job desired to present his case to God, for he was innocent. When God in love appeared before Job, instead of presenting his case to the Lord presented his case to Job. Through a series of questions and accomplishments, the Lord demonstrated his incomparable wisdom and greatness. Job was left speechless. In the face of all that God had already done, not only for Job but for all creation, Job realized that God is about wisdom, goodness, and love. He concludes that God knows everything and judges rightly. Job repents, and his fortune is reversed. Everything he lost in the beginning is returned twofold, and his community is restored. Job chapter 42, verses 11 to 13. Job was the recipient of God's goodness, mercy, and love. Job realized that God was with him in all his misfortune and suffering. He would answer the Lord saying, "I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted." Job chapter 42, verses 1 and 2. Job's story tells us that in all and every circumstance, in spite of the challenges, God is with us, and we can depend on God to do what is best for us. In the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, God, through the Holy Spirit, says to us, "What do you want me to do for you?" Let us pray that learning from the lessons of Job, James and John, and blind Bartimaeus, we can say in faith as Jesus taught us, "Your will, O Father, be done on earth as it is in heaven." Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God and Father, help us to entrust the past to your mercy, the present to your love, and the future to your wisdom. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. O Lord Jesus Christ, who invited the heavy burden to come to you and promised to give them rest and never cast them out, help us to come to you that we may find rest in you, and so to believe your promises that we may know that you have received us for the glory of your name, with the Father and the Holy Spirit. You are worthy to be trusted and adored. Amen. Help us, O keeper of faith, to keep the faith entrusted to us, faith in a world worth saving, faith in a dream worth sharing, faith in a heritage worth keeping, even as we reinvigorate it to have meaning for us now. Help us to keep faith in you, and help us not to lose faith in ourselves, for faith is the substance of our hope, and hope is the assurance of love. Praise to you, O faithful one, now and forever. Amen. And as our Savior Christ had commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. We have the hymn, To God Be the Glory, CPWI 387. Let us pray. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward, save that of knowing we do your will. And in that service, O God, we pray that you will continue to make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And may God the Father bless us. May Christ take care of us. The Holy Spirit enlighten us all the days of our life. The Lord be our defender and keeper of body and soul, both now and forever, to the ages of ages. Amen. And we pray that you will have a spiritually rewarding week, that you will continue daily to worship God, to wash your hands, to watch your distance, and to wear your mask. Please be safe.
Lord, be glorified. Upwards to Zion, the beautiful city of